If you are a senior already in retirement and you have a low income, you may already be receiving the Guaranteed Income Supplement. For folks who are headed off into retirement, there is some thinking to be done now to make sure that if you're close to qualifying for the GIS, that you make some choices, make some plans to ensure that you do. Joining us now to take us through the ins and outs of the GIS is John Stapleton, Metcalf Innovation Fellow and founder of Open Policy Ontario. Hello there.
Hi there.
I really wanted to have this conversation because there are ways that people can plan better to reduce the GIS clawback. And we don't talk about this nearly enough. So we're going to get to that in a second. Before we do, what exactly is the Guaranteed Income Supplement?
The Guaranteed Income Supplement is a income-tested, non-taxable benefit that one can get if one has low income and is also a recipient of old age security. But you must have old age security to be able to get the GIS, and you must be breathing Canadian air in Canada to get it.
Right. Well, it is glorious air, regardless of where coast to coast you live. What, when you say lower income, what are the thresholds?
The threshold is around $18,600 for a single individual. Now, that doesn't include their old age security. That would include other income like CPP or RRSP cash outs or investment income, et cetera. And for a couple, it's depending on the age of the spouse, it's anywhere from about $30,000 to $44,000.
And if you were able to achieve the maximum, what additional amount would the GIS add to CPP and OAS?
Yeah, if you have absolutely no other income at all, then you can get as much as $917.29 a month tax-free.
Right. So really important. Now, even if you do get that full amount, it is not an easy go to live on those three things combined. So, that's not necessarily something you plan for. But why I wanted to have this conversation is some people may have made choices that make it harder for them to collect that maximum amount, i.e. saving in an RRSP when a tax-free savings account might actually have been a wiser choice. Talk about that distinction in terms of those two government vehicles and why for someone at a lower income, a TFSA really would be a better choice.
The long and short of it is that the TFSA does not trigger a clawback of the Guaranteed Income Supplement, but any money that you take out of an RRSP or an RRAF later on, results in at least a 50% clawback.
And that's a really important thing to know. What are the other dynamics that influence how much GIS you are eligible for?
Well, mainly it's just, it is an income tested program, and really it's just other forms of income. So I like to talk in terms of being GIS bound. You're generally going to know by age 55 and especially by 60, whether you're GIS bound. And if you are, you have to do two things. One is to get your money in a TFSA and have that going into your plus 65 years. And the other one is to consider very strongly to take your Canada Pension Plan early at age 60, because the clawback when you hit 65 will be less.
Right. And that is an important thing to note, because we do talk about for people at higher incomes delaying as long as you can because the payout will be higher. That is not the case for lower income folks. I do want to ask you about the nuance on income, because there are lots of different ways people can receive income. They can have a regular job. They can have an odd job. They could have a boarder in their basement. They could have an inheritance. What counts and what does not count?
Well, basically, GIS is like a modified form of taxable income. So your line 236 on your income tax, your taxable income is what really counts. Now, there's some tiny differences here and there, but basically, that's the definition.
Right, which means basically everything counts unless you're cheating the CRA.
Yeah. Now, and of course, if you're receiving any social assistance or if your refundable tax credits also don't play into your income. And of course, old age security itself does not reduce GIS. So it's really the TFSA, the refundable tax credits and OAS itself that won't reduce the guaranteed income supplement.
It sounds like there would be some sophistication, might not be the right word, but some thinking required for how quickly you do draw down TFSA savings. So if you've been fortunate enough to, you know, save something in that account, you hopefully it's not an RSP, but it's in a TFSA. Is there anything that you would advise people to do as they think about that drawdown? Or is it really in the land of how much income do you need and how long do you need that money to last?
Yeah, well, it keeps changing. Of course, if you live in Canada, you earn TFSA room each year. And for someone who hasn't put any money into a TFSA yet, we're now at $69,500, and that'll go up to around $75,000 in a year. So it's starting to be real money that you have in there. So people really need to think about taking money out of their RRSP early, because if you're low income, your tax rate is going to be well below 50%. But as soon as it hits, you hit 65 and start taking that money out, of course, there's going to be that 50% at least clawback. And so you're always going to be better off to be to have as much in a TFSA as possible and as little in an RRSP. You're really in a parallel universe when you're low income and all the things. If you did everything opposite to what the mainstream advice is, if you were to do everything the opposite, you're probably going to be in a better position, because instead of going from higher income to lower income in retirement, you're usually going from lower to higher, and you're going from non-taxable income in pre-retirement to taxable income in post-retirement, because OAS is taxable, CPP is taxable, RRSP takeouts are taxable. So that's why you're in that parallel universe.
And I fully take my share of the blame here, because we do talk about these things so often and spend insufficient time and insufficient energy on lower income Canadians. We just don't do folks in that income bracket a service. We don't provide enough support. I do want to ask you about the logistics. How does one apply? How does the money get moved? How complicated is it?
Well, in terms of receiving GIS, it's all in one form now, and there's in the old age security form. So when you're listening to Paul McCartney's song, When I'm 64, and you're saying, hey, that's me, that's when you want to be applying for old age security. And just don't tick the box that says you don't want GIS. Just leave that box unticked and you'll automatically be applying for GIS. And of course, then just do your tax return each year and you won't have any problem at all. And as long as you remain eligible, you don't have to reapply for GIS. In the past, you used to have to reapply.
Right. And just enjoy your tour on the Yellow Submarine, right?
Absolutely.
I just felt like I had to make another Beatles reference there somewhere.
Yeah.
John, I really appreciate your insight on this. It's very important stuff.
Yep, 31% of Canadian seniors are getting the GIS. So it really is. It's 2 million people.
That is an enormous number of people and an enormously important topic. We appreciate your time to focus on it today.
Thanks so much.
John Stapleton is a MedCAF Innovation Fellow. He is the founder of Open Policy Ontario. And the focus of our conversation was on the guaranteed income supplement and some of the things you should know if you're a lower income Canadian to make sure that you get the maximum amount that you possibly can in those retirement years.